note sheet, you should have a copy that said Holy Spirit, and it's section number 5. Anybody need one? Okay, right there for Dwayne. Anybody else? It would be best if you had a copy. Couple of reasons, so you can follow along easily. A little bit bigger print in your Bible. And if you have a pen or a pencil, you can mark things as you go along. I think that's a great idea. And if the Lord strikes you with a thought somewhere or other from the Scriptures, I trust that you'll be able to do that. Okay. Let's bow in a word of prayer before we begin. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity of gathering here this morning. And Lord, the songs are such a blessing to our hearts. Now I belong to Jesus. How precious that is for a Bible-believing Christian to be able to say that. I belong to Jesus. I belong to God, my Heavenly Father, who gave His Son to purchase my redemption at Calvary. Father, how rich we are, being new creatures in Christ, being saved by grace through faith, and know heaven is our eternal home because we've been born again of the Spirit of God. We thank you, Father, for the riches that we have in Christ. We pray that we might let some thoughts and some words and some scriptures given this morning that will be a help to us, we pray. Father, we are absolutely dependent on you and the work of your Spirit in our hearts. We will come and go in the next hour as if nothing happened if the Spirit of God does not work in our hearts and speak to us. Help us to have an open heart and mind this morning. And might our heart be fruitful, productive soil for the Word of God and for the message to drop into, so that lasting growth and fruit might be the result. And we'll praise and thank you for that, which you'll do, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So we'll begin at the top of page number 1. And the notes, we begin here. Now we're talking about the Holy Spirit, obviously. He convicts men of sin, graciously aids them in repentance and faith, regenerates, comforts, and sanctifies believers, bears witness to their acceptance with God and adoption as God's children, and dwells in them as the principle of the new and divine life. Now you'll notice at the end of that statement in brackets that UBD, that comes from Unger's Bible Dictionary, no relation to me, by the way. I'm not smart enough to do any of this. But I took the outline for the first half of this series on the Holy Spirit, comes from Unger's Bible Dictionary, so when you see that at the end, that's a direct quote from that source. Now we go to God's source. And in Romans chapter 8, verse 13, the book of Romans is a tremendous book, book of Hebrews as well. And I trust that those two books, so is Gospel of John, so is 1 John 1, 2, and 3, right? Basically, it's all good, all great. So it's hard to say if this is really great, this is better than better, kind of impossible. But anyways, Romans chapter 8, verse 13. For if ye live after the flesh, pay careful attention, ye shall die. Now, we're talking about a person who is not saved, living after the flesh, he shall die. That's the implication here, is to be separated from God. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So we have 11 points that we want to look at, because taken from the above 4 verses, and point number 1. To live after the flesh and die in that state is an eternal death sentence. That implies I was born in Adam, right? That's a biblical fact. We all are born in Adam. And all being descendants of Adam's sinful fallen race, we are separated from God. And the Bible tells us that we are dead spiritually. What does that mean to be spiritually dead? We are physically alive, but spiritually dead when we're born into this world. And until we are made spiritually alive, which happens in the new birth, because we are then born again of the Spirit of God and we have the very life of Christ, we are all in Adam, lost in Adam, dead in our trespasses and sins. And if we die simply in old Adam, we will forever throughout eternity be separated from God in a place called hell, and often referred to in the book of Revelation at the end as the lake of fire. What a terrible, terrible, indescribably terrible, how can you contemplate the terribleness of being lost, separated from God eternally? And might I say this, because it's a biblical fact, living eternally under the wrath and condemnation of a holy God and a just God and a righteous God. There isn't anything worse in this life than dying without Christ, being born in old Adam, living in old Adam, living for old Adam, that is simply living for the gratification of the flesh, living that way, and then eternally being separated from God. What a terrible consequence of living in old Adam. We were all there. Like I just said, we were born there. How gracious of God to provide a salvation that is full and free in Christ. Now I say God providing. More accurately, the Father providing, God the Father providing through the person and work of His only begotten, His beloved Son, when He gave His Son as the Lamb of God to lay down His life on the cross to make an atonement for the sin of man. And as we heard this morning already, a blood atonement that had to be made in order to save those who were in old Adam and would have died in old Adam had Christ not come, had the Father not loved, had the Father not given His Son, had the Father not provided this glorious redemption in Christ, we'd be forever lost. But God so loved the world. God loved the world this much. God loved you and I this much, that He gave His only begotten Son to die on a cross, God taking a body of flesh so that you and I might be saved and have the precious gift of eternal life. Isn't God great? Isn't He wonderful? Isn't He glorious? Who can ever comprehend the incredible love, grace, mercy of God? Let's move on to point number two. If the person is born again, and then through the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit, yields his life to the altar for death, Romans 12:1. Remember what Romans 12:1 says? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Okay, so we have that reference there. And then let's move on. I shouldn't have done that. Let's start point number two again. If the person is born again, then through the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit, yields his life to the altar for death, Romans 12:1, the lusts and desires of the body will be put to death. This person will now enjoy a life filled with the fruit of the Spirit and the power and the victory that Christ provides through the person of the indwelling Holy Spirit. Life of power, a life of victory. What does God have in mind for you? Now that you are born again, you're no longer simply in old Adam, you are now in Christ. By the way, old Adam still hangs around, but you are in Christ, and God makes possible in Christ for you to live a life of victory. But can I remind you that victory will not happen unless you yield your life to God, unless you present your body a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service. And until you do that, you will not experience the victory that God has to give. I'm not sure how's the best way to explain this. But if you're a Bible-believing Christian, and this is maybe not the best way, but if you think it's crazy, then erase it after I say. That you can live a 10% Christian life. What do I mean by that? A lot of people, they get saved, and they don't grow much spiritually. That's what happened in the book of Hebrews, and which is discussed in Hebrews chapter 5, the last 3 or 4 or 5 verses of Hebrews 5. I don't even like to say it, but let me say it. A 10% Christian doesn't sound very good, does it? Because that is not what God intended for you and me. That's not what He intended. What God intended is this, that you give your body back to Him who gave it to you and gave you life in the first place. Yes, you're born in old Adam, but God gave you life. God gave you a physical body. There's not very many things in this world that you have absolute control over, but your physical body, that's yours. God gave it to you to walk through this world in. God gave you this body that you live in. You ought to take care of it. Amen? Take care of your physical body. You don't get another one. You only get one on your journey through life. Take care of it. Eat proper, rest proper, work proper, rest, all the rest. Take a vacation once in a while. Take care of your physical body. God gave it to you. It's yours. Now when you get saved, you know what God asks of you? God asks you to give your physical body back to Him. He asks you to place it on the altar and offer it like a sacrifice to Him. What does that mean? That means this. You take your hands off of your life and you surrender your heart and life to God. Is that an easy process? Does that happen easily? I would say no. Why doesn't that happen easily? Remember I mentioned at the beginning, we're born into this world and we're born into Adam's sinful fallen race. Guess what old Adam wants to do in your heart and life? He wants to hang on. My body's just like yours. We want to hang on to life. We want to hang on to the control of our lives. We'll hang on tenaciously. This is mine. This body is mine. This life is mine. I'm hanging on. Romans 12:1, if you're born again, God tells you, stop hanging on. God tells you, take that body which is yours and surrender it, yield it totally to God. We, in these messages, are studying the person and work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a very powerful being. We've already covered that. But He is also a very gentle being. He could be grieved. He could be quenched, which would hinder the reality of His person and His work in your heart and life. So that's why God tells you to do this. Take this body that God has given you. Surrender it to God, like the Old Testament picture where a man would bring his lamb in sacrificing for his own sin and for that of his family. He would lay the lamb on the altar and the lamb would be slain and blood would run from the lamb because the lamb was giving its life as a substitute for the man and the family. Similarly, Christ has given His life, has shed His blood for you. So that you, like the Old Testament lamb, like our Lord and Savior being the Lamb of God, so that we, like Him, would now surrender our lives to Him, lay your life, lay your body on the altar if you're born again. Lay it on the altar to be sacrificed to God. How does that work now for the Holy Spirit? When you place your life on the altar and you surrender it to God the Father through the sacrifice of Christ the Son, through the application and working of God's Holy Spirit, now the Holy Spirit might fill your heart and life. You're no longer this 10% Christian anymore. Now you can move up to maybe 70, 80% Christian. Are you ever going to get to the 100%? I think that happens as we step into the eternal state, but how close can we get here now? How close do you want to get? We have read from behind this pulpit and in Bethel Baptist Church for the last almost 40 years now, we have read what the fruit of the Holy Spirit is. And the first three things everybody has memorized. The Holy Spirit produces love, joy, and peace. And if you will surrender your life to the Lord and lay your life on the altar, God wants to fill your life with His love, divine love, and His joy, and His peace, and His rest, and His victory, and His power. God wants to do that for you. But God can't, and God won't, until you present your body a living sacrifice to Him. How many people called Christians attempt to live their Christian life in the energy of the flesh? Question, how does that work out in the end? How does it work? I can answer that for you because I've tried more than once, and so have you. It does not work. It is not satisfying. It is not rewarding. That is not what God intended for you. Why don't you and I this morning say, God, I've tried in the past. I've tried hard, in fact. And sometimes I haven't tried at all. But God, could I start over again today? And would you help me if I renew my commitment to Christ today? And if I'll say today, God, today, this Sunday, I will present my body as a living sacrifice to you because I want to experience and I want to know the riches and the fullness of the Spirit-filled life. Question, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. The Bible says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Bible teach that? Is that what God said? Absolutely, that's what God said. God wants every single born-again, Bible-believing Christian to live the Spirit-filled life. Can you imagine yourself living every day the Spirit-filled life? A life filled with love, a life filled with joy, and a life filled with peace. Why did God create the New Testament church? God's invention? Christ came and He gave His life for the church and for the establishment of New Testament churches. Why did God do that? God wanted a vehicle through which to work. God wanted an institution through which God's children could exercise their spiritual gifts and could demonstrate the reality of the Holy Spirit in their hearts and lives. I kind of think the way we're doing church right now is really a great idea. Having a service, having a break, and having a second service. I think it's a great idea for a number of reasons. But one of them is this. Do you know what? Before the church and during the break time and for maybe a few minutes after church, you know what that gives you the opportunity to do? It gives you the opportunity to demonstrate your love to your brother and sister in Christ. Put your arm on a brother or sister's shoulder and say, good to fellowship with you today. Just good to be together today. Just good to be in God's house today. If God's Holy Spirit fills you with His love, it's like a dynamite where the fuse has been lit. It has to go off. It's going to bang, okay? Now, this, we're not talking about a big bang here. But what we are talking about, there's something in your heart that has to find expression. It has to come out. In John chapter 7, Jesus stood and cried in that passage of Scripture. Picture him now, stood and cried, not crying tears. He's shouting out loud to the people, come to me and drink. And the person who comes to Christ to drink, Jesus says, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. What does that mean? That means the Holy Spirit in a believer has to find expression, and that expression is seen in God's love and joy and peace, and that becomes a powerful reality in the believer's life, and it will flow from a believer like a river. I like another thing about that passage in John chapter 7. Come unto me and drink. So picture a cup you're drinking. What do you get? You get a cup of water you drink. What does that cup of water turn into? In that very same passage, Jesus says it turns into a river. That one drink from that cup turns into a river flowing from the believer. What's the picture? It pictures the Spirit-filled life. When we come to Christ, when we present our bodies a living sacrifice, there's a number of picture things that play in here. You can't live the Christian life apart from the Word of God. You can't live the Christian life apart from spending time reading and studying the Word of God. And if you're a Bible-believing Christian, you ought to be doing that every day. You can't live without that. You'll not live in our generation, because we all have the Scripture, you'll not live a Spirit-filled life, I don't think, apart from that. Read it, study it, love it. Listen to teaching and preaching. Be faithful to church. Fill your heart and mind. Saturate your soul with the blessed truth of the Word of God. Come to know God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Live a real Christian life. You know what I fear? I fear, as I have spent about the last 50-some years in Baptist churches, you know, we were Mennonites prior to that, about 50 years ago became Baptist. I fear we have a lot of superficial Christianity in our Baptist churches. I fear we have a form of godliness, but not the power that should come from that godliness. Having a form without the power. You sit here this morning, and you have to stop at this point. What kind of Christianity do I want to live? What kind of a life do I want to live for the Lord? God has gone to indescribable lengths to provide for you a salvation that is so real, so powerful, because it has the very life of God behind it. Do you know what happens to you when you're born again? The very life of the resurrected Christ is made real in you. That life is so powerful and so real that the Holy Spirit wants to take that and just fill you with His fruit, His love, His joy, His peace, His victory, His power, and all the rest. God wants to do that. But you know what we do? I've done it, you've done it. You know what we do? We just live life. Some of the time, as if God doesn't even exist. We're not even conscious of His presence and the reality of His being. Sometimes we live a part of our life that way. Is that good? Obviously that's not good. Not good. Not good. Does God want Bible-believing Christians to be different than the people that live out there? Sure does. He sure does. Look at the cost that the Father paid to enable you to live a life of power and victory. The Father, God the Father, who's all powerful, all glorious, He gave heaven's best, His only begotten Son, to come into this world to give you life, to give you His very life. And then He asks you, that body I gave you, God the Father says, I want you to take that body and I want you to lay it on an altar and I want you to sacrifice it as a living sacrifice to me. That's what I want you to do. And then I want you to live that way with your life on that altar every hour of every day. Question, does that sound easy? Brother Jerry, does that sound easy? No, it's not easy. You know why it's not easy? We've already covered. We were born in old Adam. And old Adam doesn't surrender all very easily. Notice, surrender all very easily. Old Adam doesn't give up very easily. And then if you had a really good day and you had a successful day, and then when you get up in the morning, guess who gets up with you? Old Mr. Adam got up too. And old Mr. Adam is going to try all day long to have some kind of an impact on your day and to make you live like old Adam again and make you talk like old Adam again, make you act like old Adam again and attract you with the stuff that old Adam was attracted to again. Old Adam and the devil being behind him, he never gives up and he never quits trying. The question has been asked, when we get saved, why didn't God just kill old Adam? Could God have done it? Of course He could have, but He didn't. Why didn't He? Because He wants, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, want you to learn to live with old Adam over here, but he's dead on the altar. So that you might live in the resurrection power of Christ. So that you might experience the reality of the Spirit-filled life. That you might know the reality of it. That you might know not just the theory of it, not just the practice of it, not just whatever people talk about it. God wants you to be a recipient of His very life and the Spirit-filled life. That's what God wants for you and for me. Might we have it? Let's move on. Point number 3 in our notes. Your life of sinning must die, or you will die eternally separated from God. Point 4. The Old Testament law could not break the power of sin. That happens through the power of the New Testament gospel through Jesus' blood and through the power of Jesus' resurrection. As we've already said, God wants His very life to be your life. Point number 5. One strong evidence of being saved is that of being led by the Holy Spirit of God. The Spirit will lead us primarily by applying the Scriptures to us in daily life, leading us in service and praise and worship. David prayed in Psalm 143, verse 10. Notice what David prayed. Very interesting. He says in his prayer, "Teach me to do thy will." He asked God to teach him. "Teach me to do thy will." Hey, what have we already discovered in our study of the Holy Spirit so far? One of the ministries of the Holy Spirit is what? To be our teacher. And you ought to be conscious as a Bible-believing Christian of God's Holy Spirit, the teacher in you, teaching you, and then leading you. Let's move on in that verse in Psalm 143, verse 10. "For thou art my God, thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness." Isaiah chapter 48, verse 17, the Bible says this, "Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which," notice, "leadeth thee by the way that thou shalt go." What does God do? He teaches and he leads. As a Bible-believing Christian, you and I ought to be conscious of the Holy Spirit's teaching and leading. Let's move on. Back in verse 15 of Romans chapter 8, believers have not received the spirit of bondage and fear. We live in a world where mankind is living in incredible bondage and fear. But when you come to Christ, that power is broken. We no longer live in fear. We live in power and victory that God provides through Christ. Further, believers have received the spirit of adoption. Through this adoption, a believer becomes a full member of God's family. I now have a heavenly Father, and I am his son. We mention that point often. Mention it again. As a born-again believer, I have a heavenly Father. All of us have had human fathers. And our human fathers at times have failed us. At times have not been the example or the pattern that they could have or should have been. They're earthly fathers. They are imperfect. Like you and I sit here this morning, we're imperfect. But praise God, if you're born again, you have a heavenly Father. Now, there are many ramifications to that. One of them is this. Because you have a heavenly Father, when you have a need or an item of praise, you can say this: "My Father, I come before you just now, and I want to thank you for, or I want to praise you for, or I have a request, I have a burden on my heart, and God the Father hears the cry of his people." Biblical fact. We saw that this morning already in the first message. We know it now. We have a Father in heaven. He answers prayer. You say, "Yep, I pray some, but I never see much of an answer to prayer." That's possible. It's possible. But why don't you try and fix that? You say, "How do I fix it?" Try and fix that by a point we've already made. Why don't you say, "Father, I've been kind of a 10% Christian up to this point in my life. I don't want that anymore. That's not what you want for me. That's not what you designed. That's not the plan you had for my life. I don't want that anymore. I've tried that. I've lived that way maybe for years. I don't want that anymore." Why don't you today present your body a living sacrifice? That's what God wants from you. And now when you have done that, now you address him as your Father. And you're in this wonderful, loving relationship, fellowship, reality that God has intended for you. Now you offer your praise and worship and thanks. Now you offer your petition, your request, the thing that burdens your heart. Now watch and see the difference in your heart and life. Let's go back to our notes. Let's look at point 10. Believers may now cry, Abba, Father. This is a term of endearment and equivalent in our day for a child to say, Daddy. Abba, Father, a term of endearment. What kind of a person, let's bring it down to physical life. Some men here, you were a dad. You had little kids, maybe now or at one point. The little kids might address their dad as saying, Daddy. What little kid can say Daddy? Well, he's probably 3, 4, 5, 6 years old, maybe, whatever. Maybe says a little past that age, whatever. Says Daddy. Dad, when your little one comes, and say little one, like could be maybe 10, 12 years old, maybe 15 years old, and say, Daddy, what does that do to you, Dad? Here's a little one that I'm responsible for bringing into this world. And this little one that's part of me says, Daddy, that has a request. That is kind of like, only in a spiritual dimension, that God the Father gives you and I the privilege of coming to Him and knowing Him so well, not being proud or arrogant in this at all, okay? But being humble and broken in this. And because you have developed such a love fellowship with the Father and the Son, that you can approach God with a heart attitude of a little child and say, Father. But in your heart, you could say, God, my Father, Daddy. Not to be irreverent here by any means, okay? You get the picture, though? We have a loving Father in heaven. A loving Father? A caring Father? Please don't ever lose sight of this biblical fact. God loves you more than you could ever begin to comprehend. Yes, God might allow trials and troubles and struggles to come to your life. Yes, He might. But you have a loving Father in heaven who allows sometimes hard things to come to God's people. To really good, spiritually minded, God, Bible-believing Christians, do they sometimes go through hard stuff? They sure do. Because we're still people living in bodies of flesh in a wicked, sinful world. We sure do. Do we get sick? Do we have losses? Do loved ones die? Do we sometimes see our kids go through hard stuff? Yeah, all of the above. But we have a loving Father that we can come to and address Him reverently in a form of Daddy. We would do it this way. My loving Heavenly Father, as a child I come before You today, and I believe You've allowed this to come into my life, and I believe You'll help me today. As I bring my request to You today, You'll help me today. How wonderful it is, my brother and sister, to have a love-filled relationship / fellowship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You can't measure the love that God has for you. You can't measure it. You can't even grasp or comprehend it fully. But let's try and grasp the reality of God's love for us and His care for us. Let's close in a word of prayer.